morning and Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas to everyone. No, there's no announcements. You got a bulletin. Did you get a bulletin when you arrived? It's Christmas Day. Read the bulletin. I won't insult your intelligence by reading what's right in front of you. There's a few things. I mean, probably the one important thing just for today or next week really is that next Sunday we're back to normal. It's New Year's Day. Next week, let's celebrate 9 and 11 o'clock. So come to church next week. There you go. That's it for announcements. You know, it's a funny thing, and a few of us were talking about it this morning. Like, I think the next Sunday morning Christmas, if I have this correct, is like 2033. So here we are. Good to be here. And I'll tell you, for us, and, you know, again, a few of us were talking about before service, like the culture of Northwest Arkansas, most of us, or a lot of us, there's enough of us in the area that we don't have family, you know, or this is our family. So all the more sweet to gather together. And it's funny because it's Christmas, right? And I think we get it. I'm pretty sure we understand what this is all about. I remember years ago, I was probably maybe a year old in the Lord Jesus, in my salvation. I went to church with some friends of mine on an Easter Sunday morning. And the pastor said, well, we all know what Easter is, right? Well, since we know what it is, let's just continue our series, whatever their series was. I'm like, okay. I'm not quite that, but at the same time, I think we understand this. Like, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We get that. And precisely because of the fact that He came into the world, by default, it proves that we are sinners in need of salvation. And we know from the Scriptures, He's the Savior of the world. He came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. We get this. Into the world to save the world. And the Scripture is clear. The Gospel is for everyone, everywhere. One of the things that I love about the book of Revelation, when you jump into it, right off the get-go, when you see like the heavenly scene, there's people of every tribe, tongue, nation, like gathered around. It's for everyone. And salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that good news that we celebrate on Christmas Day, ideally, and I think we as believers, like, again, we really get this, right? We're supposed to celebrate this year-round. At the same time, man, it's nice to just kind of set aside a day and think about this gift of salvation. And by default, again, since it's a gift, it's meant to be received. I trust, you know, you guys are going to go home in a little bit. Maybe don't stare at your watch the whole time, but you're going to go home in a little bit, and it's unlikely that you're going to leave presents under the Christmas tree unopened. Like, I don't want that one. You don't even know what's in it. I don't want it. Like, you get it, right? It's silly, because we understand the point of gifts. They're meant to be received. It's a gift that's given, but it has to be acknowledged by each and every man, woman, boy, and girl personally in need of this gift. And of course, today, and one of the things that we should think about as believers in Jesus Christ is the reality that there are many people still today, even here in the Bible Belt, that would say, no thanks, I don't actually want that gift. I'm not actually interested in salvation. I'm definitely not interested in Jesus. And really what they're saying is, I do not believe that I am in need of saving. Not everyone receives a Savior of the world. And I think we get all this. I think, again, we understand this. And we who have received Him, man, we understand it. And that's why we can make claims about joy and peace and love, etc., as year-round blessings for us as believers in Jesus Christ. That this is the gospel incarnate. The Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory, the Bible tells us. And we who have placed our faith in Jesus unto salvation are partakers of eternal life. And just think about a few of these words that we talked about this on Wednesday, but that we throw around at Christmas time. Life. Well, this is eternal life that we're discussing here. And life more abundantly is the way Jesus describes it. Well, joy. The Bible tells us that we can rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And you don't need a Christmas card for that. Peace. I mean, the Bible speaks of the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And it's the same peace that guards our hearts and minds. The Bible also makes it clear that when we receive the gift of salvation, when we're forgiven of our sins, we have the peace of God precisely because we are at peace with God. The world's concepts of peace, it's like, it's cute, you know. It means like I'm not arguing with my family this week. That's the concept for most of the world. Let's just say it. How many people at Christmas time, like, and maybe us here in Northwest Arkansas are like, oh man, I don't have to be around family this year. So life more abundantly, joy inexpressible and full of glory, peace which surpasses all understanding, and hope. I mean, the Bible speaks about our hope as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a living hope. love. Paul the Apostle talks about this in the book of Ephesians, that we can know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know these things experientially. And it's again kind of like, I don't need Christmas for that, or I don't need to have trees and presents and all that other stuff to acknowledge this experientially. I get it. And all of this is ours because of Christmas. Sort of. Wait, what? Follow me here. Thanks for coming and like humoring me here a little bit. Christmas is sort of the step one of all of this. Christmas was the divine step when the Son of God entered into His creation. You know, on Wednesday when we had our celebration and Jeremiah was reading the script when he was talking about this part, it's this great and glorious and tragic event that for us to be saved, the tragedy of this divine decision is that for sinners to be saved, the Son of God needed to enter into the world. But step one only means so much if there's no step two. And I might suggest to you that step two happened at the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus Christ submitted fully to His Father. This was the human step when the sinless Son of Man willingly committed Himself to the plan of the Father, which revolved around the hill called Calvary, to the top of which Jesus climbed and where He was crucified, fully God and fully man, the Savior, Christ Jesus. And again, all right, we know this, it's Christmas. Like, thanks, Pastor Jeremy, for this shocking information. We already know this. So I guess it's like, well, now what? Yeah, this is great. Let's set aside the day and acknowledge this and on into 2023 that we would consider these things. And the 2023, sheesh. We survived 2020, most of us, right? 2021, 2022, and 2023, man, there'll be various blessings and speed bumps and obstacles and setbacks that'll surely be provided. But, you know, maybe today, next couple days, we'll do more than just think about it. Maybe we'll really kind of contemplate it. But then again, on into 2023, maybe, oh, come, let us adore Him. Maybe this will be more of a battle cry, an anthem for us. Maybe more than a hectic season to conclude the year, because you know 2023 is going to have its own Christmas. It's going to have its own Christmas if it exists, you know, the 2023. But that we would do more than just set aside a couple weeks or a day or whatever, but that we would decide, let's live the gospel this coming year. Let's decide to seek Him more fully, to know Him more profoundly, to serve Him with a greater degree of passion. We need to keep in mind that joy and peace and love are really, really tough to manufacture on your own. And again, go to that least favorite family. I'm sorry, this is a terrible Christmas message. Go to that least favorite family Christmas party and like, gotta love them. You're telling yourself, I gotta, because they're family, I gotta love them. And peace. Uncle so-and-so is going to be there. I don't know. He's going to talk about whatever. And like, peace. And we try to force this. We try to make it happen. But this divine love, love which surpasses knowledge, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and joy. Joy? Did I talk about this Wednesday or last Sunday? I don't remember. That Paul and Silas in prison singing hymns to God. Like, dude, you guys just got beaten to a pulp. Praise God. What is that? Well, that's joy. The ability to rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And again, hope. It's a living hope. And try to manufacture those things on your own. I would just say to you on Christmas Day, best of luck to you. Or Christmas reminds us to come and adore Him. Jesus' entrance into the world reminds us all, every heart, to simply prepare Him room. And if we'll do that, maybe we can fast forward in our minds to the Gospel of John and the words of Jesus' own cousin, John the Baptist. You know the text. That I must decrease and He must increase. Like, if we really want to have these things, experience these things year-round, well, it's going to happen through Jesus. It's not going to happen through us. Try as we might. And if we keep in mind, really, what Paul wrote to the believers in the book of Galatians, in the region of Galatia. You remember this, you know this text as well, nothing new today. He told us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit or the byproduct, almost the offshoot, the result of us spending time with the Lord Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. Like, that's the natural byproduct of us simply being with Him. And so I wonder about this. I wonder if our task, not just today and not just tomorrow's Monday, and on into the new year, I wonder if simply what our task might be. I wonder if it's this. And even today, I got to say, what a great thing. And I love, you know, Christy mentioned this, that we would gather today, even setting aside the beautiful annual traditions and great family traditions that we all enjoy, that we would say, actually, no, the tradition of the church through the ages is this. Was what? It's gathering on Sunday mornings to adore Jesus, to learn of Jesus, to praise Him, to be with other followers of His. I wonder if we'll do that, and if we'll seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if we'll start to see, again, just year-round love and joy and peace working in and through us, that we could actually be beacons of hope, not just possessors of hope, and like, thank you very much, leave me alone, other people. I just want to have hope in my own little bubble. Please don't talk to me anymore. You ever find that to be true? Like, I'm at peace because I'm not speaking with anyone. I love people just as long as they don't ever talk to me. Right? Like, and forgiveness is a grand concept, but it means someone has to have wronged you. But that we be beacons of hope. And I wonder if one particular verse of the Bible will really germinate in our lives. And if it germinates in our lives, it will really produce fruit more fully in our lives. This is a very random Christmas message and a very random verse. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn to this. This is in 2 Corinthians, the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. It's the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, where Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Look at you guys. Brought your Bibles on Christmas. God bless you. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, well, what's this treasure described by Paul the Apostle? It's found in verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, and who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in us. This is so simple. Odd text maybe for a Christmas Day message, but it's so simple, it's so profound, it's so monumental. Jesus, the light of the world, entered into the world to shine light into the darkness of humanity, what I've been labeling of late as the poorly lit halls of human history. And then He pours Himself into every heart that would receive Him, every heart that would prepare Him room. The heart and soul of anyone and everyone who would call upon Him for salvation, that Jesus would save the man or woman, boy or girl, who would pray to God that He would forgive them of their sins. And isn't this the same type of message in the New Testament book of Colossians? The unveiled mystery of the gospel is what? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we know from Paul's writings in the pastoral epistles that the gospel, Jesus Himself, again, here's in 2 Corinthians, that it's the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, is this indescribable gift. Thanks, God. Thank you, God, for this indescribable gift. And so here's perhaps the craziest, humanly speaking, concept in terms of the incarnation. We know this. Jesus was born sinless, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, rose again, and then ascended into heaven. He went home. And then what? Well, then He sent His Holy Spirit upon His followers to give us that measure of love and joy and peace, etc., to work in and through us. Okay, well, what does He expect of us then as He sends His Holy Spirit? Well, He expects this. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And in verse 6, that we might shine that light in and through us. Earthen vessels, literally jars of clay. You think about this, and like the angelic message to the shepherds. Like, God, why don't you just use them? Because I'm using you. Yeah, but I'm nothing. Just an earthen vessel, just jars of... Perfect. But I'm kind of cracked. And not perfect, and there's some other great vessels, and wouldn't you? I'm using you. I've placed this, I've deposited this treasure into you, and I want you to be these instruments to shine this light further into this lost world. This indescribable gift, Jesus, is the fullness of the mystery of the gospel. Jesus inside of you, working through you, shining His light from you to others. It's John 20, isn't it? And verse 21. What did Jesus say? As the Father has sent me, what? I also send you. What are the prerequisites then? And we think about this on Christmas Day, the prerequisites. Well, flesh and blood. You're flesh and blood today. Check. You know Jesus? Check. Sent into the world around you? No, that's the part I don't like. Well, that's what he does, right? Check. To the lost people, I really don't like to the lost people. Check. To those trapped in darkness, check. He's deposited who he is inside of you that you might shine him to others around you. And we can make that a Christmas kind of thing, or we can say, no. Why not January and February? March? Yeah, why not March? Etc. As we think about this, we, the church, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior incarnate, born into His own creation for the sole task of saving sinners, well, we find this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are His ambassadors. And we are, as His followers, His representatives, living epistles, walking, breathing letters to those around us. Actually, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are, and this is Romans chapter 1, obligated to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others around us. Well, I said God bless you to my, you know, server at lunch. It's a decent start. But church, you know, let's allow Christmas to remind us, again, to seek Him more fully, to know Him more profoundly, to serve Him with a greater degree of passion, that He would work in and through us. Us. It's us. It's nobody else. It's the church. It's nobody else. As earthen vessels, as His ambassadors, as His living epistles, living letters, to shine this light, this treasure that He's deposited into us, into the darkness all around us. And let's therefore allow Jesus to really, truly be the Lord of our lives, to rule our hearts, rule over our lives, to be the master of our very cravings, desires, etc., etc., on end. And in so doing, as His life and joy and peace and life, His love, this hope that we have just starts to dominate our lives in April or May, that the others around us will unmistakably know that there's something alive, that there's true life in us. Christmas, man, I love it. Genuinely, I love it. I got a text from my brothers. We were texting this morning when we were little kids. You know, mom and dad always say, okay, we're not to get out of bed till, I don't know what it was. It always seemed like noon. You know, it was probably like 6:30 in the morning. But so we'd just play board games together. So my brother, who's going to be 50 in a couple weeks, he's like, hey, we're playing Risk this morning. We just play board games, you know. I love it. I love the reminders. I love the family stuff. I love all that it is. And I recognize, too, there's a lot of heartache involved for a lot of people. And I love that we can just say, but there's Jesus. Well, Christmas is great, but there's Jesus. Well, Christmas is tough, but there's Jesus. And so may this Christmas Sunday be yet another reminder to us. And this is crazy talk right here for Christmas morning. A reminder to us to follow Jesus Christ, since we're followers of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming. Thank you. I'm telling you, it's just such a treat as I look out and, you know, the years, this is our ninth Christmas here in Northwest Arkansas, and just the blessings that the Lord has provided for us, and that's largely you. So thank you. As we ring in next Sunday, the new year, like we do every other Sunday throughout the year, by seeking Jesus, serving Jesus, knowing Jesus more profoundly with each and every passing day and week and year until He returns, shine His light. He's placed the deposit of who He is in you. Well, I'm just a earthen vessel, perfect. This indescribable gift placed into you, and that you would shine that light to other people. This is not complicated, but it does require some thought. Truly, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll be here next week too, but oh, come let us adore Him. Hey, singers, let's sing. Let's all stand. Let's do this. Let's all stand. And what are we doing? Oh, come, let us adore Him. You guys want to come up and lead us? I'll turn off my microphone so I won't sing into the microphone. That's my Christmas present to you guys. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, come, let us adore Him.